President Trump's counselor Kellyanne Conway says statements made by MSNBC hosts that she was only working for Trump for the hefty paycheck are untrue. Yes, clearly she's also working for President Trump because she lost a bet. The Trump Report starts now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, do you want to know state secrets? Come on down to the White House. President Trump will tell you. Welcome to the Trump Report. I'm Christian Blatt on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. Joined, as almost always, by Scott Moore at S-Man80 at the far end of the desk for those watching on YouTube. And our regular, irregular host, our frequent fill-in host, Brooke Solis at Brooke Solis TV. And I just want to make sure, Taylor or no Taylor? I always
depends
get confused.
Depends on the day. Depends on the day. Brooke Solis is perfect.
Because that's what the online handle is. And that, yes. You know, that's what it all comes down to. Is if you don't have a Twitter name, you kind of don't exist.
Exactly.
So welcome. We're so glad you're with us. And as I was joking beforehand, you know, we can only have one strong Latina woman per episode. So Chelsea's gone, then it's all right. But that's just a joke because next week we're going to have you both. So
two token Latinas.
That's right. Exactly. It'll be an even match, you know.
And then I don't know that it's going to be even.
Well, if Scott's not here, then I'll be the token. So, but Scott, you're always here, almost. Anyway,
I have no life.
Don't forget to follow the show's Twitter at TrumpReportABTV. Please follow us there. Like us on YouTube. Comment and rate on iTunes. I can't stress how important that is for the show because that bumps up where you can find us. If you type in politics, if you Google Trump, you might get us first. You probably won't. But if we get nice comments from all of you out there, then we will. And Josh in the booth, if we can get the chat up when you have a chance, because I always like to see which of our friends are out there. And, you know, a lot of the time there are people who are not our friends who are in there, but we appreciate them tuning in all the same. Mm-hmm. They have terrible things to say sometimes, but yet they come back.
We appreciate all views.
Yeah, we appreciate you in a weird way.
I like seeing the other
side. So, the big story is, of course, President Trump telling tales out of school, revealing intelligence secrets to the Russians in the Oval Office for humanitarian reasons, things about ISIS, intelligence that he received apparently from the Israelis. Then we've since heard that, you know, what he shared, people could die. So, Brooke, as our guest, and of course, ladies first, when you heard this story, just the beginnings of this story, sorry, I saw a comment in the booth in there that has nothing to do with anything. Danny H., can ABC bring back Last Man Standing? And he's bringing that up because people think that that's a political decision, not a sixth year of a sitcom gets much more expensive for mediocre ratings for a guy who was really big 25 years ago. But we're really glad you're here, Danny. Anyway,
everything else is coming back these days. Roseanne, Will and Grace.
Well, yeah, but this is a new show. So what they should do is pitch like 10 episodes of Home Improvement because that will come back.
I'm sure that will come
anyway,
back.
Anyway,
I haven't seen Last Man Standing, but I thought it was a reference to The Last Man Standing.
I thought it would be The Last Man Standing
If you've ever seen Tim Allen, if you've ever even seen 5 minutes of Home Improvement, you've seen Last Man Standing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It is the same thing, essentially.
So, what did you think when you first heard about the story President Trump, you know, he does a lot of crazy things, but telling secrets to the Russians, who he's not friends with, he barely talks to, but he's telling them secrets in the White House. What did you think when you first heard this, Brooke?
Well, I was by no means shocked. I didn't really question it, given Trump's history with Twitter and impulsivity and inability to kind of keep his mouth shut. But then more so, I mean, think of the timeline of what has gone on with this entire thing. He just fired James Comey. He's meeting with Lavrov and Kislyak. Am I saying that right? Yes.
I think you are.
And
I avoided saying their names.
Me too, because I was afraid I wouldn't get it right.
And I didn't think, I thought for a second, no, he couldn't be that dumb to do something like that.
Well, but in the Oval Office. Like, if you're gonna give secrets to the Russians, do it the good old-fashioned way.
And, of course,
in the basement, you know, without any, you know, away from all watchful eyes.
Right. And, of course, none of our press was there to be able to report on it immediately. But
thanks to the Russian press, in all honesty, for covering that story, because it's exactly. Like, oh, is that what happened? Thanks, Pravda. I don't even know if there still is a Pravda, but let's just assume there is, you know. I mean,
and they're, like, laughing and snickering, meanwhile, in Russia, in their media, saying, you know, it's that easy. All we got to do is go in, and Trump's going to give it all to us. I mean, the fact that he fell for that, it's more of a reason to obviously be done with him. But the plot thickens even further.
Yes, because late-breaking information that before the show, Brooke mentioned in the way, well, you heard this. I pretended for about 4 seconds that I had heard it, but then I realized I was going to need you to explain it to me. So let's have you explain it to us and to our audience.
Well, obviously, as you guys know, that there is now a memo that, that insiders are claiming that Comey wrote after his meeting or after his dinner, that infamous dinner that night.
By the way, do we know how good the cake was at that dinner? Because we usually hear that there's excellent chocolate cake. I'm going to assume it was like a sponge cake or a coffee cake.
I don't know.
Because we haven't heard anything about the cake.
No, we haven't.
I see a creme brulee. I see a creme brulee in this dinner.
Wow. I mean,
if it's
a creme brulee.
Or some kind of fruits in the cake. So it wasn't
there was pie, but it wasn't a la mode. Yeah. Anyway.
It wasn't two scoops of ice cream on it.
Yeah. Well, he gets all the ice cream.
Everybody knows my pie is the best.
Okay. The Comey memo that says that Trump said, I hope that you can be done with this, meaning the Flynn investigation.
Exactly. You know, let's
not suspicious at all.
Not suspicion, not obstruction of justice, clearly. But just recently, it was reported that Congressman Chaffetz, if I'm saying his name
Jason Chaffetz,
from Utah, also chairman of the House Oversight Committee, has already written a letter to the FBI requesting that they turn in to Congress all internal memos, anything written in terms of discussion between Comey and Trump, and they have a deadline due date. And that's May 24th. So I am hoping that all of this will reveal some more truth.
Oh, man, that's a Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why can't it be a Tuesday?
I know. Why can't it be
a Tuesday? We were just talking about all this great news comes out on a Tuesday. And,
it's not going up on a Tuesday.
Yeah, but that's all right. We'll have to talk about it.
It's a weird day to have it due, also. I guess it's before the Memorial Day.
I guess everyone leaves town.
I was going to say, their work weekend is on Wednesday, even when it's not Memorial Day. So I guess that's probably why it was Wednesday. But as Scott was talking about, Jason Chaffetz is, let's just say that there might be some oversighting. I know that's not a real word, but it sounded funny, right? Someone's providing oversight to Jason Chaffetz at the moment as well, right? So, I don't know. There's a lot of glass houses. There's a lot of people with big old rocks in their hands. And
he's already said he's not running in 18.
Well, not for the House.
No.
But does that mean he's running for the Senate, or is he going to run for president, you know, in 20?
But why would you leave early in 18 when you're elected every 2 years to go run in 20 or, so it doesn't make sense?
Maybe so that he can be the next host of the Celebrity Apprentice, because that's the clear path to the presidency.
Yes.
Arnold was not aware of the Constitution that he can't run. And also, the ratings were terrible. So, you know, he's pretty much done, Schwarzenegger. Anyway, Scott, as you hear about all of this, and we'll talk about the way that the White House reacted in a moment, but you hear the story originally, and your thoughts, and have your thoughts intensified in the days since?
Well, I have two thoughts. I'm like, it's either, does he really want to be president, or is this a big F you to...
Yes, thank you for cleaning it up.
...the rest of the world, like, I can do whatever I want sort of thing, so that's why I can just... You know, the optics of it. Just the next day after the whole thing of firing Comey is like, let me just meet with the Russian ambassadors in a closed-door meeting in the Oval Office without allowing the American press to come in. I mean, the whole thing is just so absurdly crazy that those are the only two conclusions I can come up with. Either he's trying to do everything he can to prove that he doesn't want to be president anymore without actually resigning, or he just wants to just say, I can do whatever I want, and I'm going to prove it to you guys by just doing all this ridiculous stuff, having the meeting with the ambassadors, telling them, you know, top secret information because he ostensibly can, as president, declassify anything, and try to get away with whatever he wants. And it's just such a bizarre... it's just beyond bizarre.
I think it's a combination of sheer ignorance and that he believes that he's above the law.
Right. I think there is definitely that. He definitely thinks he can do whatever he wants.
He thinks he can get away with whatever. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's also not completely educated about our laws. That's the problem.
And telling the director of the FBI, hey, let's make that go away, and then just firing him despite being under investigation and wondering, like, why is everyone so upset? You know, sure, you can fire him, but just realize that there's going to be repercussions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's not even surprising. That's just the most telling thing that we've seen over, what is this? This is only 115 days,
Scott? Oh, my God. Yeah, it feels 16. Like it's been 115 years at this point. It's just, it's exhausting.
So over these 115 days, I think it's just his surprise, exasperation, and anger that there are consequences to these actions and being held accountable is something that he wasn't prepared for. As it goes towards the story, I guess Sean Spicer did a great job, and everybody in the White House press corps. It's really interesting because you have the story about Sean Spicer hiding in the bushes, which of course played into, you know, you knew Saturday Night Live
was going to be something. Bushes.
He was, yeah, he was he became one with the bushes, which he will probably have a lot more time for walking in the bushes soon. But we've been saying that for, you know, we had a. I don't know what we called it. We had like a Trump watch to see who was going to get fired first. And I don't think we picked Comey.
Comey was not on that list.
He was not. Yeah, we figured it was Spicer or Kellyanne Conway. Yeah. And
who did I say? No, I forget.
Yeah, yeah. But it wasn't James Comey.
No, nobody had James Comey. I can.
Yeah. Did you say Trump?
No, I forget who I said.
Yeah.
Oh, I said Bannon, I think it was.
Mm. Right, which seemed like he was on the way out the last time you were here. And, you know, I mean, he's definitely back where he belongs, lurking in the shadows, where he's most comfortable, like most golems are. But at the same time, it's just, no, James Comey was the guy to get fired. But you just feel like at some point, Sean Spicer, they're going to have to move on. Mm-hmm. And when we, you know, start to see other people like Sarah Huckabee Sanders, you know, she comes out there and it's like, well, which, by the way, I mean, I feel like President Trump said some pretty terrible things about Mike Huckabee, too. But nobody really cares.
But yet, Mike Huckabee's still on the Trump bandwagon and still tweeting these horrible jokes, which...
Well, they are bad jokes,
horrible
too.
Jokes.
Yeah. I can't even remember the Trump one that he said on Cinco de Mayo, which is probably good that I can't remember.
Well, he had a couple, like, today about, you know, Trump being the other guy on the grassy knoll of the Kennedy assassination. And you know,
everyone knows that was Ted Cruz's father.
You know, these things that are just not funny and still supporting Trump, so...
Storage Yard resident, great friend of the show, chimes in that Hillary believes that she is above the law. I think you're right. Whether
I think
or not
she probably does too.
Sure,
I think a lot of these people believe that. Bill Clinton clearly believed he was above the law, that he could lie under oath, and you know, so no reason to believe that Hillary doesn't think that. I would have to also say that President Trump definitely thinks he's above the law. He may have thought
that. I think
before,
he's in a whole other level than even Bill or Hillary. He's just in a whole other stratosphere.
Before he was president, he may have thought that.
Yeah,
just because
course.
He's rich. Yeah.
Well,
he's
never had to answer to anybody before.
Exactly.
He started a business that he took over from his dad. He's always been the boss. He's always been able to kind of do what he wanted to do.
Sue his way out of things.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the right lawyers, surround himself.
Whenever he's had to answer to someone, he divorces them. So maybe he's like going to serve us with papers. Maybe there's going to be a knock at our door and we're
take
like,
everything,
America,
as
you've
you
been
go.
Served. And we did not sign a prenup with President
We'd
Trump.
We'd rather pay than you stay. Yes.
sorry, Scott. You were actually about to say something much more insightful than I was.
No. I mean, it was basically
that.
It was basically
But, you know, as I sort of circle back to the way that the White House press corps was, not the White House press corps because those are people who report on it, but the, you know, the press secretary, that division, ill-prepared for something this significant because they can, again, cleaning it up, they can BS their way out of almost anything. This one was a lot tougher. You know, it's a lot easier to point at pictures and say that there's twice as many people there that there really are than to say, like, no, this, because they always tell us that things didn't happen. That we know happened.
Right.
And
well, and then the problem is, too, is then Trump goes back around and says the complete opposite thing after they've already said stuff. So he basically throws his team under the bus. There.
Well, he's a really – I believe he said something along the lines of he's a really busy guy.
Yeah.
So you can't expect his representatives to always be right or always provide accurate
information.
Well, I'd
say that's an important – probably at the top of their list.
I think that's their job.
Well, that's
as
what my thought was, that's exactly why you should depend on
between
them.
Yes. The two.
Like, you can understand him being asked about things like, you know what, I haven't been briefed on that yet. But he would never say that. He'd always say, like, oh, yeah, we have the top people on it, even though he doesn't know what you're talking about. You know, mm-hmm. he's like, we've got Frederick Douglass on that.
I think as this continues to happen, the credibility of the White House just continues to erode, especially with what occurred with McMaster going out yes. and saying, essentially saying it was saying that the information was false that he spread.
That the Washington Post article had said.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This intelligence to the mm-hmm. Russian ambassadors. But more importantly, if you think about the exact words that they use, we did not share the sources. We did not share methods instead of what the Washington Post was actually reporting. They weren't talking about sources or methods. They were talking about specific intelligence that could potentially put us in jeopardy with our ally. They didn't say whom or the way in which it happened. And now they're using specific little words to try to get around what the truth is. And it's really sad because unfortunately, a lot of people out there don't know how to read between the lines or don't know how to decipher that. And so they're like, White House says it's false, fake news, fake news. It's so easy to just throw it away. But of course, we're seeing now that the truth eventually gets there. And sometimes it has to be written out for people. And that's obviously what's happening now.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that I had read a headline that I was at first very disappointed in what the headline was. But I actually clicked through and read it. And it was basically referring that there was cheering in the press room at The Washington Post. And I was like, oh, because they have this story and they think they got Trump. No, they were really excited because it has like the most clicks of, I think, any news
yeah,
article
exactly.
or at least this year. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, that's the kind of thing they can cheer about. But I actually thought I was like, yikes. I mean, we know that the media has a bias in a lot of instances,
right. Well,
but let's
been,
not cheer.
They should have been cheering about the tweet that where Trump basically admitted that he shared this information
yeah.
that was important.
Yeah,
and intelligence.
We should get back to Comey for a second, mm-hmm. Because you reminded me when you mentioned the tweet that President Trump said that he, you know, James Comey better hope that there are no, I'm using air
yeah.
quotes,
tapes.
Yeah, for those listening on iTunes, we all did it. There's no tapes.
Yeah.
So does that mean that there are no tapes, or does he actually understand that it would be like a digital recording and people don't have, you know, they're not strapped with like a with a cassette recorder?
I think Trump still lives in the 80s, which is probably the mm-hmm. type of conversation he thought he was having when he was sitting with Comey, like sitting around with Roger Stone and his own
yeah.
mafia cronies
mm-hmm.
back in the 80s, and he's like, hey man, we're gonna let that slide, right? And didn't realize that no, you're actually in an official position and you can't just like
yeah. yeah, well, you know, you see that tweet, and it was, again, something that they incorporated in SNL, the comparison mm-hmm. to Nixon. But it's like, yeah, you don't want to be, like, alluding that you're the guy who tapes
when
everything.
I hear
right.
tapes, I think of American Psycho. Doesn't he say, like, I got to go return some, is it tapes or
I believe that's what
yeah,
he says.
I love
yeah.
that movie.
I'm just thinking, like, you know, these old cassette tapes, and they're just, you know, spinning around.
Oh
and they're, you know, they're, that's what they have, in, what he has in the Oval Office.
Our friend R. Scott Brown in the chat says that Sarah Huckabee Sanders, hey, did she marry one of Bernie's kids? Just kidding. That would have been funnier
that
if Chelsea,
oh,
Chelsea would have had no. a heart attack. Sarah Huckabee Sanders did her presser looking like she just came from a Grateful Dead cover band concert and someone
yeah.
gave her a cardigan and a string of pearls to wear.
Why the pearl necklace, Sarah Huckabee?
Well, you know, I mean, it goes with everything. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's a great
it's the
accessory.
It's a conservative show.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I guess that's what it is. But, yeah, and I believe Mike Huckabee said earlier today that people responding to, you know, commenting on her and criticizing her are being sexist.
Oh, I read that.
Which
yeah,
I think
I
not
that.
Criticizing her for any reason, like just like, well, she's a woman. Let's not criticize mm-hmm. her, which, first of all, would not happen. But I think that would actually be sexist. It's like, well, I want to say some bad things, but, you know, she's a girl, so she can't handle it. So
she should be glad she's fair game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right, exactly. But, you know, not big game. Because
but I get it. No, but I was going to say, speaking of that, that's what they were saying, like the appearance. They were talking about her appearance and that she was, you know, overweight and these type of things, which I do think ends up being something that's more generated towards women than it is towards mm-hmm. men, you know, and that's
yeah, but there's
Bill
a lot
Maher
of there's
calling
a lot
Trump
of,
out of being fat, you know, it was
there's a lot of
never really talked about.
There's a lot of pieces and commentary on Sean Spicer. He is
yeah,
not
being
svelte,
a little stumpy,
and
guy.
I'm pretty sure he has gained half a Huckabee in the time that he's been serving in the White House. So
not in height, guys.
No, absolutely not. So yeah, I can't be surprised by anything at this
you
point.
Guys,
yes.
Do you think that there is a memo that Comey has these detailed memos?
I think that he. If obviously if you're going to assume that that happened, but also now this is a guy who's, you know, maybe trying to save face. And
but
he's,
right.
a
he's a former prosecutor. Someone
yeah.
mentioned
yeah,
that up there.
That, yeah, somebody mentioned that, of course, yeah. he wrote memos because that's what they do. I think it's definitely possible.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's very possible that President Trump would say that and think that, you know, even though he's the president talking to the head of the FBI, he might actually think like, well, we're just having dinner, so this is going to be off the record. Mm-hmm. But of course, you know, that's kind of not the way the FBI works.
Exactly.
You know,
and nothing
or even
about
the way a lawyer thinks.
Right. Or even just being president. There is no real off the record anymore when you're dealing with business. And that's mm-hmm. the thing, too, is that, you know, supposedly he'd asked for Comey's loyalty. I mean, it's just mm-hmm. that's just not how it works at as president. You can maybe say that when you're talking, when you're the boss and you're working
exactly.
with somebody. I mean, he just doesn't understand that government does not work in the same way that he thinks he could operate his businesses. And I don't know, it's, I don't even know what to say anymore. It's so crazy. It's like, I don't know what's going to happen next.
I mean, I definitely believe that there are detailed memos. I think Comey is a smart man.
Well, I think so too.
Have written down everything. What I think that's going to be said on the other end
right.
is going to be, well, he could say that he said anything and write it down.
But that's the thing, and but the problem with the whole situation is the fact that Trump constantly changes what he's saying, so there is no credibility. Mm-hmm. And he talked about, you know, firing Comey last week because he was trying to, because of how Comey handled the Hillary thing, which was clearly not true. And the thing is, if he really had nothing to hide, he would be the first person to say, if he's clean, let's hire a special prosecutor.
Exactly.
I'm going to prove to you.
Here are my tax returns.
Here's everything. Here's my tax returns. Here's, you know, I so know that I have no involvement at all, that I can have a special prosecutor, put this thing to rest, make the Democrats look horrible. But the fact is, he doesn't do that, and he makes it worse for himself. And the thing is,
yeah.
he's the one that's making all this worse for himself.
I mean, let's work with
he's
the hypothetical for a second.
You know,
that,
ruining
that
his
what
presence.
You said that he could do. Let's just say that all that was true. There's nothing to be gained from holding it all back.
Right.
You know, the tax returns, I think, would embarrass him in one way or another.
Right. Sure.
But
and that's
I think
he, yes.
I, that one I get. But in
I
terms
do.
Of
I
like,
do get it, but there's
I had no wrongdoing
there.
Here.
Right.
If everything's on the up and up.
Right.
You know, holding it back isn't doing you any favors.
No, it makes
right.
it look like you're hiding something. And that's part of the thing with Nixon was, you know, the cover-up ended up being worse than the crime. And the fact that he's covering things up and trying to backtrack and lying and eroding his credibility makes it seem like there is something there.
Oh, yeah.
And what is it exactly? And he keeps thinking it's going to go away, and it's not going to go away, especially the way he's handling it.
Yeah.
It's only going to intensify and get worse
yeah.
for him.
I think one thing that I've often thought about Richard Nixon, I thought that, you know, maybe he spent the last decades of his life just sort of staring at that 1972 electoral
mm-hmm.
college map, where he's like, oh yeah, we did not need to do that.
No,
like,
exactly.
It wasn't even close.
It
was
even
and
close.
In that way, I feel like Trump will always have that framed election
yeah.
nightmare. The one that
yeah.
you colored in on,
yes,
on Trump versus Hillary.
But the thing is, he will never have anything as close that Nixon had in
yeah.
72. That's the thing.
No,
like,
no, no one
Trump
will ever
will
have that.
No, no one will really have that anymore.
Well,
I guess
Reagan Mondale
was the same.
That was basically
was
the same
in 84. But
yeah.
I'm saying no one will have that in modern times, but certainly not him.
No,
Trump will never would
but
never.
But at the
have
same
that.
Time, he's just gonna look at all that
he's
beautiful
be
red.
On that.
But we
right.
don't know that he would have had that had there not been the interference, though, with Russia.
Right. But the thing is like, and that's the thing going back to Nixon is he would have been a really well regarded president if he didn't get in his own way. And Trump, not that he would ever be in the same caliber because he doesn't have the experience or the ability. He could have had a decent chance of at least meddling along. You know, and not self-sabotaging, and now he's ruining any kind of credibility or any chance to even have that.
I have to wonder if, you know, Roger Stone, you guys know who this guy
yeah.
is?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Little trickster.
Yep.
If he's still behind the curtain kind of telling Trump what to do. You know, he was also implicated in Watergate.
Right, as like 19
Nixon.
Years
I was
old.
Say,
you know, he has an actual tattoo of Nixon
on
his
back.
Mm-hmm.
I do too, so
right.
there's nothing
well, mine's on
that.
My butt, but
who
anyway.
Doesn't, you know?
By the way, legitimately, I got married at the Richard Nixon Library because my wife's from that town, so,
that's
you know.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't have the tattoo anymore. Laser mm-hmm. hair removal. But anyway,
laser tattoo
removal.
You had to get the hair off.
It does
gotta get the, hair to get to the Nixon tattoo. Anyway,
because
sorry.
I can't
very...
imagine. Well, you know, I keep questioning myself. Sometimes I lay in bed at night and wonder, Trump can't really be this much of a jerk and that stupid. But then I think, okay, he's playing games. And then I think when I look back, I don't know if you guys saw that Get Me Roger Stone.
I have not seen it yet, but I know
it's on Netflix.
You've got to watch it.
It's
on
Netflix.
I do want to watch it.
You should definitely watch it if you're interested
yeah.
in politics at all.
Yeah.
But Roger Stone essentially... advise Nixon similarly to do the things that Trump is now doing, and it makes me wonder, like, who is telling him what he should and shouldn't do, because this guy is very, what's the word, easily influenced by others, I would say.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's, you know, and look, there are obviously a lot of questions about who has his ear the most. You know, we talked a lot about Jared Kushner. I think that was the last time you were here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bannon's a little bit more towards the back, and especially because, rightly so, Steve Bannon was like, you know, you really shouldn't fire James Comey. But he's like, shut up, Bannon. What do I even have you for? And, I mean, he's right. It's just like, no matter what your reason was to fire him, like, the timing was not good.
Well, yeah, and it's like he has a different flavor of the week. You know, at one point he's listening to Steve Bannon, then he's out, then it's Jared, then, you know, and it's Ivanka, and it's, you know, then who's the next person? Is it Roger Stone?
Depending on who's visiting
around. It's like whoever's in front of his face is the one who has his ear. And it's also a little scary, too, because you don't know who else is influencing him. And the fact is he doesn't take advice from people who've been in politics and have been working for a long time, like, you know, we thought he might do, and he's not.
Well, and we also are expecting, as we were alluding to earlier, some new faces there in the press room, you know, at the podium. And very blatantly, Fox News' Kimberly Guilfoyle is really trying to get that Sean Spicer job. You know, we talked about Sarah Huckabee Sanders. That was sort of like a trial balloon to see how that went. Mm-hmm. And I don't say balloon to imply that she was fat. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, it's actually not what I meant.
She's very svelte.
Yeah. But speaking of balloons, Kimberly Guilfoyle, best known, of course, as the ex-wife of Gavin Newsom, the San Francisco Bay. She was best known. I guess now she's best known for working at Fox News. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, it's a good job, I guess. But I mean, she also has the prosecutor background. So, sure, why not? But she's really pushing for it. I was reading an article about it. And I think that if you're going to make a change from Spicer, you should definitely go in a very different direction. You know, I think that, you know, Bill O'Reilly doesn't have a job right now.
It's just something
to think about.
I mean, keep him on the podium and away from people. Keep your hands to yourself.
Yeah, well, you know, he had no problem with his hands. It was really just on the phone, the late night call. I think to Kimberly Guilfoyle actually was one of them. Yeah. But anyway, you know,
she's
so
trying to get away from all.
Yeah, that's one way to get away from Bill O'Reilly. Just trap yourself in the White House.
Exactly.
So Scott, as you sort of hear about this, and you know, do you feel like Trump will just sort of put, you know, another one of the same lackeys in there, or will he sort of think outside the box a little bit? Or,
you know, it depends how desperate he gets. They were talking about this, and that was the whole kind of thing yesterday, the whole spin and some of the theories where he was going to let him go and let Steve Bannon go. And, you know, that was the thing yesterday, and that felt like 100 years ago yesterday, because it was so different from today. So now that's sort of on the back burner, and it's like you just don't know what's going to happen, because, you know, it was just last week that Comey was fired, and so much has happened since then. So on one hand, you feel like, again, it just depends who has his ear at the moment and which direction he's going to go in. Because as we said to Brandt last week, and he was talking about how he thought, you know, Spicer was the opposite of Trump, and I felt like he's the Trump protege. Like, he does do Trump's bidding, and he will go out there and say these blatant absurd lies and to keep with what Trump wants him to say. So I feel like it would behoove Trump to get someone who's going to kind of stand up and basically be more press friendly and be able to not, because of course all press secretaries are going to spin a little bit for their boss and they want to project the best image, like a press release or anything else. But you do need someone that can be a little bit more press friendly and someone that's going to be able to kind of be a little bit more of a smooth talker, which Trump is not. He's not a smooth talker. He doesn't say the certain things that he needs to say, and Spicer to me is too much of that lackey. So it really depends, you know, going back to it, of who has his ear and what's going to happen the next few days, because like I said, he's just self-imploding right now, this presidency.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's definitely accurate. You know, it's let's just say it's not going well, but you could have said that at any point. And those same, it's actually somehow been only 113 days now. We lost 2 days,
we went ahead.
So 2 days are actually tacked into the end now. So sorry about that, Scott. But one thing that I personally feel, no matter what all the mounting evidence is, just because of the way that Congress is currently structured, there's not going to be any impeachment. There's not even going to be hearings. We have this Wisconsin Congressman, Mark Pocan. Which, you know, obviously is a delicious pie, which is a bad joke. I can't believe I opened my mouth and said it. I apologize already. Mark Pocan says, we're an hour closer on an impeachment clock, which, by the way, selling the impeachment, I heard that and I was like, let's market the impeachment clock. You know, you have you have Trump right at noon, you know, and just
so you
or midnight.
You're saying you don't think there's going to be an impeachment?
Well, I just think if you had, you know, a Democratic Senate, a Democratic, like, 60 seat majority, you might get that, and depending on how everything was set up, I think it is going to take more than this. Basically, Trump's going to have to kill a guy in the White House
on live TV.
And because if you just hear that
hear
he did, that's
it,
just
you
fake
still
news.
Don't know that's
but
true.
Then he might claim that somehow, you know,
right? That's what I'm saying.
Those
are
CGI.
Well, he'll say Alec Baldwin did it, most likely.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like it's not really him.
That wasn't me. Yeah.
Look, I think first of all, the impeachment thing is thrown around quite easily. Mm-hmm. But it is thrown around easily because, in a sense, Congress can do impeachment for really anything they deem. It doesn't have to necessarily be unlawful. So there's a little bit of difference there. It doesn't have to say that he broke the law. It just has to feel like they feel it's offensible that he can't handle his job.
Could they hold impeachment hearings if you wear white after Labor Day? Like, it's really like whatever they feel like is
infringement. Yes, realistically.
Which, by the way, I agree.
I agree too.
Very tacky.
Sorry,
you were going to make a real point.
But the point is that, yes, on one hand, right now, because that base is still there in Trump's corner, they're scared of the base because they already know they have a rough road ahead of them, with them having to go up for re-election first before Trump does in 18. So they're not going to rock that boat unless they know that their base has eroded enough, which is kind of sad. They're not going to put country above party. If they feel like their base is abandoning Trump in droves, then you would see them come up and say, we would want to do impeachment hearings because it's going to make them look good to say we threw our own president and our own party away because we put country above.
I think that the roar for impeachment would have to be so much louder.
Well, that's
what I'm saying.
If their base erodes support, because right now he has very low approval ratings, but he still has, and he's lost some with his base, but he's still in the upper 40s with his base. So until you see that really erode, you're not going to see Republicans getting up in droves to say, let's do impeachment. The other hindrance is the Senate really needs to have 2/3 majority. So you need basically 67 to be able to have him impeached. So it could be the same thing like Bill Clinton. You could get the House to say he's impeached, but then the Senate doesn't, and he's still in office. The point is, will Trump actually stay for the full term? And that's the interesting thing. And now a majority of people actually say they don't believe he will.
Well, and we alluded to it earlier. My feeling is that if Donald Trump isn't president in 2020, whatever. In 2020, if he's not president, it's because he didn't want to be, or he found it to be too much of a headache.
Right.
Like, it could be building towards something like this, and he's like, oh, this is bad. I don't want to get impeached.
I don't
out.
I actually see the possibility for impeachment coming really soon.
I do think with you, if enough people in his base are abandoning
make
him
that
because,
turn. And I think that the shift is
starting.
I think the shift is slowly occurring. I was even watching Fox News, and their tone was slowly shifting just today. And I know that that's just one step, but I can also see it with some of the congressmen and senators. But more importantly, we still have this other guy, Rod Rosenstein, who may potentially do his job, do what he needs to do, and appoint either special prosecutor, obviously, if there's been a crime committed, which I believe there has been, or a committee, an independent committee, to investigate this further. And there's clearly something there. We already know there's something there with Flynn. Look, you've got a guy, Flynn, who wanted to cut a deal. You don't cut a deal unless there's something that you've done wrong. Then you've got a guy, Trump, who's trying to get Flynn out of jail, essentially, clearly for a reason. There's obviously something there.
And firing Comey.
And of course, you guys know the entire timeline, but there's clearly something there, and I think that we'll get to it, hopefully, before 2020.
Right, I do too. But I do think he would resign before going through the impeachment thing.
I don't think he would, actually. I don't think he'll resign. I don't think he'll quit.
I think he would be, and I think for two reasons. One is, he can still get the benefits of the perks of the presidency, and he can run off and do a book deal or another reality show, make millions of dollars, and not have the headache of the presidency. But I think the other reason why he might resign is if it does stretch out to 2020, and he feels he won't win, he'd rather leave and then blame it on everyone else and say, look, and I've said this from the very beginning, even before any of this stuff came to light. I left, and now Mike Pence is the sacrificial lamb. He loses the election in 20. And Trump can point and say, look, if I was here, I would have won. Mm-hmm. And you guys pushed me out and I had to leave. And because of that, we lost. And it's your fault.
I just feel like
fault.
He's so stubborn.
I think he would rather blame other people than go and take the loss.
He does
loss.
Like to blame others.
If he lost by a landslide in 20, that would be so humiliating for him. I think it'd be easier for him to quit. And
I agree with the LBJ approach. Like when you're convinced you're not going to mm-hmm. win, you're going to step down.
Then take the fact of losing a humiliating loss.
But if
loss.
That were to happen, that he was convinced he wouldn't win re-election in 2020 and he did step down, he would say that, you know what, I always said I was only going to run for one term, even though of course he didn't say that.
I did what I needed to do to make America great again and I got everything done.
If you look around, isn't America great?
Great again. Yeah.
So, you know what, vote for my friend Mike Pence.
Exactly.
And then parentheses, or don't,
yeah.
because he won't care at that point.
I do think that's either that or the other, and he won't want to go the humiliation of being impeached either, yeah. especially if it's with Republicans.
Right.
He'd rather just walk away.
Brooke, hold your thought. Okay. I just want to get from the chat. Hero 75, that's two E's, hero. If Trump doesn't get anything done, then the base will start to leave Trump. Mm-hmm. They want him to get stuff done, and if nothing gets done, they will likely leave him. I think that's what we were saying. Trump will win in 2020, Storage Yard Resident, our friend says. I think
Else was watching from Moscow, too, so that's pretty cool that you guys are watching over there.
Wait,
fill
is
us
Putin
in on what
watching?
Fill us in on what your media is saying.
It's
like, their media is
like
talks,
Trump
right?
Report. I'd yeah, like to know what my
exactly.
friend is up to. You know, look, I agree with Storage Yard Resident in the sense that if the conditions and the sort of feeling in the country is similar to where it was at in 2016, which is impossible to predict. If you remember, you know, in 1991, no one ever would have imagined that George H.W. Bush wouldn't get reelected. He was so popular. Right. There was an SNL sketch of all yeah. the Democratic candidates, you know, determining who's going to be the guy to lose to George
right.
or lose to President Bush.
Yeah.
So a lot can change in that time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I look, at this point, I don't think it's impossible because all this stuff, it's, you know, when you think of the things that there were against Trump on election day,
and he still won.
Yeah. So this is just like, oh, this is all bad.
I know it's wishful thinking, but I think the collusion will come to light. I think that he'll be impeached, but I think that in Nixonian ways, Pence or whomever ends up being the president, he'll resign only if he's, of course, pardoned. Same thing that happened with Nixon.
Right.
That's what I foresee.
Right. Well, yeah, and that's probably
easier
said
than done. Of
course,
it might be all a dream, like Biggie says.
But I also think, compared to George H.W. Bush and the Clinton, you know, 25 years ago, the electoral map is a lot different now, and we don't have quite that same back and forth. Of course, Obama won by what we'd consider today as a landslide both times. But I don't see Trump, just like George W. Bush, having the type of coalition that's really going to help him win in 20 at this point with the changing demographics. It's going to be so much harder for him because, like we talked about before, he has already lost 4% of the people that said they would vote for him again. And a lot of those states were by such tiny margins that he has no room for error. And part of the problem is he hasn't expanded his coalition at all. And I don't see how he's going to be able to do that because he has not proven himself to be able to do that. Yes, Americans have short-term memories. Things could change. The economy could get better. Lots of stuff could happen, but I don't see the way things are going right now. And the fact that the economy has been in a growing period for the past 8 years, that's going to keep that momentum and all these other factors to be able to propel him to a really reasonable reelection. But at the same time, we haven't had an incumbent lose reelection since George H.W. Bush 25 years ago. So you could go both ways on that. You could say the averages are that it's likely he won't win re-election because, you know, it's been a long time and people are already anchoring upset and new people are coming out to vote. What's going to be telling us what's going to happen in these special elections over the next couple months, what's going to happen in the gubernatorial elections this fall for New Jersey and Virginia, to kind of get a barometer of how 18 is going to be. And, you know, once we go from there, we'll really see the mood of the country.
Come back to us after the 2018 elections, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it'll be very interesting to see, you know, how that's all shaping up.
Even in 17, even, you know, the June special election with in the Georgia 6th with John Ossoff and Karen mm-hmm. Handel. And then in the fall, those were the first barometers in 2009 when both of those governorships in Virginia and New Jersey flipped to Republicans at the time after Obama became president. And that became the sign of like the growing wave when the Republicans took over in 10. So we can start to see some of the trends now and what's going to happen this year. And he's definitely not helping any of his Republican friends right now. This year.
Speaking of getting new people in, who do you guys think? I'm like taking over your job.
No, please.
I just thought of something. Who do you guys think will be the FBI director? director that will be appointed.
Oh, it's funny you mentioned the Republican governor of New Jersey, because obviously, no, people were floating Chris Christie's name. And oh, I was just like, wait, the guy who's like actually currently under investigation, the guy who didn't get a job in the White House for whatever reason, Trump didn't give it, so it's not going to be him.
And Rudy Giuliani was on that list.
Rudy Giuliani stopped running for president because he had a headache, so I can't imagine him wanting to be head of the FBI.
I think he needs to be hospitalized.
I think what Giuliani would like would be to be a Supreme Court judge. I think that's the sort of job that he would probably prefer to head of the FBI, but I don't know, because you hear those names, but that's just because people, you know, go to the, well, who would be the worst people possible?
Well, and also we don't always know, because those are like the names, you know, people know, but they don't know all the people toiling away that are the prosecutors and other people that are...
And I can't believe that he's even considering some of our congresspeople, Republican congresspeople.
Right, well, I think he really has to take anybody political out of the equation, because already that's going to pollute whatever chance he has of bringing someone that's going to come in and be able to say no. Because anybody that comes in that has a political slant, their credibility of the ongoing investigation is already going to be taken down, because they're going to be like, well, they're a Republican congressperson or
politician. And the Senate already said there's no way that they're going to confirm someone who has an R behind their name or a D behind their name. Of course, that wouldn't happen.
Right, but it needs to not be someone who's in the political realm. It needs to be someone who's kind of clean, you know, and disassociated from that.
It's an old reference that'll be lost on most of our audience. But if President Trump really wanted to show that he's impartial towards Russia, he could get someone who's always been very critical of Russia. Of course, I'm talking about funny man Yakov Smirnov, who really built a career on criticizing Russia. I think it's a good choice, although I don't think he's a citizen, but, you know, you could work that out. I think it can't be a political appointment.
Right, right.
And, no, it can't be.
And honestly, whoever it is probably somebody that...
Mike Kelly has been floated around.
More than likely, it'll be somebody whose name you might have read in an article but didn't stick with you because they didn't seem like someone that's significant. Do you have a thought, Brooke, as to who it might
be? Well, that's who I hear is the front runner, I guess. Mike Kelly, this former New York City police commissioner, who apparently is independent. But I am seeing that he might be a little more right-leaning.
And
that's
still
why...
too politicized, I think.
Exactly. And then, actually, there was the thought of Mike Rogers. I guess he was a past chairman of the House Committee. Again, I wouldn't ever want someone in who has congressional ties. I just don't know. He should bring Comey back. I mean, let's really have some fun.
Well, the sad thing is Comey was not even halfway through his term. You know, FBI directors are there for 10-year terms,
right?
to try to straddle the different presidencies. So, you know, there is the look of keeping it a little bit more nonpartisan.
How crazy would that be?
Yeah, I know. It's like, never mind, I'll bring him back. I thought it was interesting that Storage Yard resident brings up about Herbert Hoover. I don't know where that came from, but...
Was elected president without ever holding elected office, but he had been appointed to government office. I guess that's in relation to FBI director, but
right.
I don't know, because I was going to say that's like Dwight Eisenhower, too, not having any political office before experience. But I was going to say both of those men, Dwight Eisenhower and Herbert Hoover, at least Herbert Hoover had been a Secretary of Commerce and actually worked in government enough to at least know a little bit more of how government worked, unlike Donald Trump. And Dwight Eisenhower was commander of World War II. You know,
it's not a great comparison.
Knowing how that stuff, and was president of Columbia University, so he also knew how to have that leadership skill, so you can't really compare. Not to mention Herbert Hoover was president in 28 and what happened
in 29. Well, I was going to say, Herbert Hoover did a bang up job with the economy.
He did not do a good job with the economy, so I'm not one that I would compare to.
I would try and stay away from that.
I think Andrew McCabe is probably like the rational choice, but you know it's not going to happen.
No, and it still makes me nervous too. Even Andrew McCabe still makes me nervous.
Because of his wife's ties? You know, his wife ran under the Democratic.
Yeah, no, platform.
He's too close to Comey?
I think.
Comey's homie?
Comey's homie, exactly.
Hey, Comey's homies.
But I feel like him in the AG, I don't know.
Someone who can relate to me, so those comments always get read on the show. Marty Waterman says, Yakov Smirnov reference, ... I'm old. Thank you, Marty. But Evangelina Cantu says, first time tuning in, welcome. And you are all really good about being impartial. Hey, we try, and that was always the goal. It's very difficult.
I think when
I'm on,
you guys are more impartial.
Well, a little bit. I mean, you know, Chelsea like goes to lunch with Bernie Sanders and
his wife. Bernie.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a little bit more biased. And of course, when Drexel happens to be here, look out. But look, we try. It's very difficult with this White House. You know, if we had been doing this show with a different Republican president, that it might be a little bit easier to be impartial.
Like John Kasich, maybe I would be a lot more open to being like, okay, even though I don't agree with a lot of his policies, I feel like he's a little bit more in the middle as far as his governing.
Mm-hmm. Or Ted Nugent, I don't know. But anyway, we appreciate everybody joining us in the chat. We only really have a couple more minutes, which is always the way it happens. Mm-hmm. I earlier referenced, you know, sometimes you see a headline so quick and it gives you the wrong impression. I wanted to point out a headline that I misread, and I was like, no, he didn't say that. He couldn't possibly say that. President Trump confident his travel ban is awful. And then I'm like, really? Oh, no. Lawful. I was like, wait, why would he say that? Like, what's his game? He's really punking us the whole time. I was really excited. And then I clicked on it. I'm like, you idiot. You just didn't read it. But to bring up our final topic, he's convinced. It's like it's going to be upheld, and we're going to, you know, kick out everybody that doesn't go to his country club. He's going to kick out everybody who wasn't there for the light beer celebration on Capitol Hill. If you don't look like those people, you're probably out. But he's very confident, Scott. I mean, clearly, because they keep trying.
No, they just don't give up.
Yeah. It's good. It's like healthcare. They'll try again. I mean, I know it still has to, you know, the Senate has to still get involved, but
which that's a whole other story that we've forgotten about.
We just talked about how, yeah, I know, because there's been so much else, which, you know, mission accomplished if that was your goal. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, there's a rumor that McCain is starting to rally Republicans against Trump.
That's awesome.
I'm surprised. I would be, you know, there are a lot of people who President Trump spoke badly of during the campaign who have since come out and supported him. Ted Cruz being the most surprising one.
Paul Ryan.
Yeah, a little bit less surprising for Paul Ryan because of the job that he has. Mm-hmm. But, you know, honestly, if it was if John McCain, after he said, you know, I like guys who don't get caught, I would be very disappointed in John McCain, who I met very briefly once, and he was a very nice guy. Mm-hmm. And when you think about what he went through, the fact that he could have gone home because of who his father was, and he stayed if they were going to hold on to everybody else. And, you know, so if anybody's going to do it, it's John McCain. Right. And if John McCain's doing it, it's not because he holds that grudge. It's because he's like, no, this is what's best for
the
country.
He's a good, decent man, and he cares about America.
And let's be honest, Trump would never have lasted a day if he was in McCain's position there.
A half hour? Yeah, do you think he's got a half hour in him?
No.
Yeah, he's like, wait, your father is, yes, please let me out.
Exactly.
So, yeah, exactly. anyway, we didn't get to the topic of Betsy DeVos being booed, but who's surprised?
Oh, that was so good.
But, you know, hey, we can always put that on the back burner, because Brooke, you'll be back with us next week.
Yes,
theory, Chelsea will be back with us. We'll see. But
Chelsea and I are going to take y'all on.
You know what? Scott and I might just sit off to the side and just put our feet up and let you guys hash everything out. That sounds like a nice little vacation. But anyway, for Scott Moore at SMN80, for Brooke Solis at Brooke Solis TV, I am Christian DMZ, at Christian DMZ. You can find me there. And, of course, the show is at Trump Report ABTV. We will see you next Tuesday, 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern. Thanks so much, everybody.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.